Scripture reading for this evening comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord.
Some wives will do anything to get out of hearing their husbands preach. We're thankful for all your prayers on Kara's behalf. She's in good spirits, and she's able to move around. She's not supposed to move around a lot. It only hurts when she moves around. But it's been an interesting weekend. Tonight, I want to focus on a question. Why do we want to go to heaven? I think I've answered this question in my own spiritual walk different ways over the years. I became a Christian when I was 12 years old. Not so sure that I was doing it because I loved the Lord so much as I didn't want to go to hell. Now, there's nothing wrong with that answer. I don't want anybody here to go there. I don't want anybody to be lost. But I don't think that's the best answer. See, tonight we're going to take one of those tests like you took in school that says give the best answer, and if you don't give the best answer, that's wrong. We're not going to do that, but we want to be thinking that way. What's the best answer? Sometimes we want to go to heaven because of the eternal comfort that will be there. There's air conditioning in heaven. I like air conditioning. I don't know about you guys, but that's what I was always told. There's air conditioning in heaven. Okay. Some of us want to go to heaven because we're going to get a mansion. I've never had a mansion before. Anybody had a mansion? Now, I've heard people debate over the years the word mansion, whether it's a mansion or a place. I bet it's better than anything we have here on earth, okay? So whatever we're going to get, great. But some people want to go to heaven because they want a mansion. Others of us want to go to heaven because we want to see loved ones who've gone on before us. We know that they're there, their example, the things that they did, and we want to see them. Again, these are not bad answers. But I don't think it's the one that we really want to focus on tonight. Everything a Christian experiences after death of our fallen bodies is something that we need to look at. If we looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it has a lot to say about our intermediate state as Christians here on earth. The scripture says, beginning in verse 1, "For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." You know, verse 8 that I had McKinley read says that we prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. That takes a lot of maturity to get to that space as a Christian, that you'd rather be with the Lord than here on earth. But that's the maturity walk that the Christian takes. And that's kind of the direction I want us to go in tonight. Why do we want to do that? You know, the scripture says that the resurrection of our bodies in John 5:28 is something that's going to happen. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of the judgment. We know that we will be resurrected. We know that God has the power to do such, and that we know that we're going to go to one of two destinations. If we went to Romans chapter 8, 18 and following, we'd find out that when we become resurrected, or when we're in heaven, that we're a new creation. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that we're going to be part of that new creation, the new heaven, the new earth. And we know that we're going to be, as children of God, part of that glory. We also know that in the age to come, things are going to be different. If we looked at Luke chapter 18, verses 29 through 30, Scripture there says, "And he said to them, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who will not receive many times more in this time and in the age to come eternal life." So from this day as a Christian to the age to come, there are different aspects of salvation in eternity that impact us as Christians, that impact our body, our resurrection. Whether it's our desire to be with him today, whether it's hearing him call and us being resurrected, whether it's being part of the new creation, or experiencing eternal life in the ages to come. All these things are things that we're sure of, that we know are going to happen. But why do we want them to happen? Why do we want to be part of that? I love the descriptions of heaven that are in many places in the Scripture. A place with no darkness, a place with golden streets, a place with many mansions, a place with a crystal river. It sounds like a beautiful place. It sounds like a place where David Cantor would like to go hiking. It just sounds amazing. You know, I got to go to Disney once and walked around that place, and man, that was a pretty amazing place. It was pretty cool. Well, heaven's got Disney beat infinite times over. It's going to be a great place to go. But why do we want to go there? The Bible, on almost every page, speaks not so much about the mansions, not so much about the comfort, not so much about who's going to be there, not so much about the absence of pain, but it does speak about the great satisfaction for which our souls deeply long. Have you ever been up late at night and you're maybe watching TV? And you're like, you got that, I don't know about you, I anxiety eat, okay? And you can tell I have a lot of anxieties. I stress eat. That's something I've worked on very hard over the years. And sometimes I'll be in the house and I'll be like, I got to find something. And I'll go over to the cupboard and I'll look in the cupboard. There's nothing there. And I'll go over to the fridge and I'll open the fridge and there's nothing there. I don't want that. You know, well, maybe I'll try. I got to have something. I'll try this. Nothing satisfies. Nothing. And, you know, then once you've eaten a bag of chips that you didn't really want in the first place, you're like, man, why did I eat that? We are looking for satisfaction spiritually. And sometimes we don't even know it. We're trying to understand what's going to make us feel better. What's going to make us feel whole. What's going to make us people with complete integrity, structural integrity. We're going to be built right. We're trying to look for things that will comfort us and will strengthen us. C.S. Lewis said it this way: there have been times when I think we do not desire heaven, but more often I find myself wondering whether in our heart of hearts, if we've ever desired anything else. See, I think when we're looking around for something to satisfy us, I kind of think maybe that's part of us searching for heaven. We identify it with a comfort food. We identify it with maybe a video game on our phone. Maybe we whatever comforts us here, but it doesn't satisfy us. He went on further to say that the desire at the core of our desiring is the thirst that is never quenched by anything that we find in this world. What our real desire is for God. Okay, so we know the state of our body. We know that we can't find anything satisfying here. How does that tie in with wanting to be in heaven? Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13 says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water." The people were looking for cisterns, for water, for something to quench their thirst in a place other than God. We need to be thirsty for God. Stick with me. Only God can give us the drink that will forever end our deepest thirst. John 4:14 says, "But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." God's giving us something as Christians. He's giving us this water that wells up to eternal life. This water where we're not thirsty. This water where we're not looking on this earth for satisfaction. Our unquenchable thirst, our unappeasable want, is actually a desire for God. Psalm 63, 1 and 2 says, "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and your glory." The man who wrote this psalm understood that he needed to pursue God if he wanted to be fulfilled with his thirst, if he didn't want to faint. And this is what the Bible reveals about God from cover to cover. Turn with me, if you would, over to Romans chapter 5, verse 8 for a moment. Scripture there says that God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. God has been demonstrating over and over and over again his love for us. And the ultimate demonstration was giving his son to die on a cross. It saves us from his wrath. And it allows us to be justified. We hear of God's desire for us to be saved all throughout the Psalms. And we read of people throughout the Psalms who wanted to be pursuing God because of that. Psalm 73:25 and following says, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Why do you think this psalmist wrote this? Because he had walked with God and he had seen God's love. And he had understood that God wanted good things. And he had understood that God was the Father of lights. We hear this in the declarations that a day in God's courts is better than a thousand elsewhere, according to Psalms 84:10. And that God was their exceeding joy, Psalms 43:4. We see in the desire of the prophet Moses, who considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward, Hebrews 11:26. And the only reward that he really desired was God, according to Exodus 33:18. We see this desire in the apostle Paul, who counted everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, and suffered the loss of all things, counting them as rubbish, in order that what he may gain Christ, according to Philippians 3:8. That was the one prize that he really valued. And again, in Philippians 3:14, we hear this desire on the very lips of Jesus himself. The scripture says, "This eternal life that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." John 1 says the very reason that Jesus came to earth, the reason he suffered on the cross, a brutal cross, he suffered once for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous, was in order that he might bring us to God. 1 Peter 3:18. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but being made alive in the spirit." So we may have some reasons that we want to go to heaven, and they're not bad reasons. But I would suggest to you that the most and strongest reason for going to heaven is going to be with God. He's a God who has demonstrated time and time and time again his love for us. I don't know what God looks like, but I know he wrote a book with 66 books in it that scream, I love you and I want to reconcile you back to me. I think we should get the point that if God was willing to do these things for us, maybe we ought to consider how great he is. Maybe we ought to consider that being with him would be a good thing. You know, sometimes I can remember this when I was a kid, and it reminds me now that I have grandchildren. We'd go down to the hills of West Virginia to see my grandmother. That was good. I always loved seeing my grandmother. But we'd also go see my great-grandmother. And, you know, we'd spend a couple hours, maybe a couple times a year with her. And I had family, especially my mom, who really wanted me to go and bond with her and be strong with her. And, you know, we were always polite. As far as I know, I was a snotty-nosed kid. What do I know? Okay. I didn't get to appreciate her as much as I should have, because she passed away before my adolescence. But I can remember understanding that there were people who wanted me to know her better. I think there are people here that want you as a Christian to know God better. And I think we need to understand that their desire is based on their walk with God. And their desire is because they want to be with God. And I think when we come to a certain maturity as a Christian, yeah, we talk about the great things that are going to be in heaven. But the greatest thing that's going to be in heaven is God. And we need to have an appreciation for Him and all the blessings He's given to us, all the things that He's done for us, all the things that He's made way for us in the future. I think one of the things that I'm going to work on as a Christian is being stronger in my love of God and trying to understand more and more about that. I think we respect Him. We read what He says and we try to understand. But I wonder sometimes, how much do we love God? This evening, if you want to go to heaven, and if it's because you don't want to go to hell, I'm fine with that. But if you want to go to heaven and find that loving God who will satisfy you, who will even satisfy you here, allow you to have a life of contentment, we would be happy to help you, pray with you, baptize you if you need to be baptized into Christ, and rise to walk in newness of life. If we can do any of these things for you this evening, please come.